Okay. Hi, everybody. John Harris here with you on The Public John. It's my personal podcast. I want to thank the folks at Quinn Broadcasting for letting me use their studio tonight to broadcast my very special guest who is from this area. So it was easy for us to do this here. And he's laughing because I said very special. My very special guest is author Jim Santura. And Jim is the author of this so cool book. I haven't had a chance to finish it, but I've read a good part of it.
Cool.
It's the underrated rock book, the 200 most underrated albums, and you can see it's from 1970 to 2015. This is episode 2 of this podcast, and let me tell you something, folks. I'm really honored to have Jim with me. We go a little ways back, I guess, just a little ways, yeah, right?
30 years. It's funny now. We're actually recapturing this friendship. It was a crazy time. Back
Nutty,
hanging out,
cuckoo crazy, my friend.
Cuckoo crazy.
If you're on the page, also realize that if it's easier for you, we are on YouTube Live right now, which is great. We just found that out. So our show tonight,
Quinn Broadcasting's
channel, we're on YouTube Live. That was nice of them to let us do that. So we are streaming live as well on Facebook Live, as you know, right now. And this episode is also going to play on wildfireradio.com. You can go to wildfireradio.com, and I'll notify you on my pages, and you'll be able to download or at least listen again to, or if you haven't listened yet, you'll be able to listen to my friend Jim Santura as we discuss his book, our old college days. Maybe, I'm not sure we can discuss everything on our old college days, but actually this is, we can, as you'll probably find out by accident, I can actually swear on this thing, Jim.
This is a podcast. It's never really been
my thing,
you know, but it's all good.
I've gotten to the point where I don't swear as much now on TV and radio, which is, scary, you know, because we both know that, I'm really good at a couple of things, and one of them
Everybody's got their talents.
That was mine. There is mine. So I do that on occasion. But we are recording this for Wildfire Radio, and it'll be posted on the Wildfire Radio website in the next couple of days. And at some point, we'll also be part of iTunes and Google Play. That's probably going to take a couple of weeks, but it will be out there. And I will notify everybody when we're doing that as well. We had some technical difficulties last week, episode 1, with Andy Julie and Dave Dudley, my friends. We were at Leatherhead, but we were able to get that on. That one might be a little bit tough, but to listen, we hope not. But we did get the show on. And here, we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to plow forward with my friend Jim, because I'm telling you what, this book, Jim, give us some background on this, because this book is awesome. You can hold it up as much as you want. I'll hold it up. If it's in 3D, do I have to do this? It's high def.
Just turn it around.
High def. There it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to kind of give the basic synopsis of this, I mean, I've been in the rock music for as long as I can remember, you know, as a young kid, you know, rummaging through my mother's record collection. You know, everything from, like, you know, a lot of 60s stuff. Everything from the Beach Boys to Sha-na-na and even like Jim Neighbors and stuff like that.
Neighbors.
A lot of people don't realize Jim Neighbors
was a singer.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. But
spoke a lot different than he sang.
Absolutely. He was like on two different ends of the spectrum.
When you hear him speak, nothing like he sang. He had a terrific voice.
Yeah. And I basically got into rock and roll, and over the years I've been a disc jockey. I've been a mobile disc jockey over time. I've been in a few bands over the years. For those listening, you know, that are on here, you know, if you might remember the bands, if you remember 77 Le Sabre or Redliner, within the last 10-15 years. You know, I was doing that thing, and then I was doing the internet radio thing too.
Okay.
Back when Live 365 was really the first place that I actually started doing like this whole internet radio thing.
Okay.
So when I was doing the mobile DJing piece, I got involved in that, and then it kind of merged and morphed into some other stuff off and on. I ended up having my own show for a number of years, and finally about 2015, I gave everything up.
Okay.
Because I just got to a point where I was like, I just wanted to do something else musically.
Right.
But I thought the show at the time kind of ran its course, so I always had this idea of writing a book, but I didn't know how I wanted to go through with that.
Right.
And but I knew that there was all these bands that I enjoyed and albums that I enjoyed that other people may not be familiar with. And it started to kind of merge into this underrated rock book. And that's where the theme kind of came in.
I got you.
And then I kind of said, okay, well, let's get a certain, you know, some guidelines together. So the guidelines were pretty simple. I went a 45-year span, 1970 to 2015. I was born in 69. And, right. And I'll admit that most of my stuff from the 1960s or the 50s, I'm not always as familiar.
Right.
I would have to do a lot more research for that.
Yeah.
But I felt comfortable between 1970 and 2015 going through that. And then it kind of went from there, like, okay, now what do you do? One album. So I wanted to go 200 albums, but one album from each artist. And then it kind of goes from there, like... if the artist was in a band but they had a solo project,
right.
They could also be in there. And it really depended. And there was a lot of albums that missed the cut,
right.
That after the fact, after I'm putting this together, you know, then I start thinking about other albums and other. So there's already so, talk. And
I was just going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is this kind of like a movie thing, Jim? Are we going to have a sequel maybe?
There's a possibility of a sequel. There's a lot of stuff in the head.
The other 200 underrated albums, Jim?
I mean, and actually, you know, the book came out September 15th. And it's done fairly well sales-wise. I mean,
okay.
we're not you know, ready to retire off this
book. I was just going
to
say, if you ever get to the point where you say, well, we don't need to sell any more books, I don't really think that that's going to happen.
Right.
Hey, I see some people joining us. That's awesome. If you guys have questions for Jim or myself, it can be about the book. It can be about anything else. Let us know. We have a couple friends here. Brian Clouder. Brian's the guy, the gentleman who helped me with the logo for this podcast.
Oh, nice.
He
okay.
drew up the logo. And I'll tell you what, Brian, everybody loves the darn thing. They go, great idea. So between the two of us, it was great working with you. And here's the great thing about technology, Jim, that you know, we didn't have this back when we were in college.
Nope.
Brian and I don't think have officially even shaken hands and met yet. But I've dealt with Brian probably for almost a year now with a couple of things. And great guy. And very prompt, very good. I just love my logo. I think it's stinking great.
It's funny you say that because I actually, for the cover of the Underrated Rock book, the person that created the cover,
right.
and also the back as well, his name's Kevin McElroy. He also goes by the name Kevin Law. He runs an internet station called Philly Rock Radio.
I've heard.
They have a show called The Saloon,
which
you would be a great guest on that.
Saloon.
You know,
well,
for
put
years,
in the plug because I'll go in and go through the swinging doors.
But for years,
for you guys.
For years, I had talked to Kevin, and
right.
Kevin even tried to talk me into, you know, getting a show on his station,
right.
all this kind of stuff. So then finally when the book came, he offered his services. He kind of does graphic design and stuff and said, hey, I can design a book cover for you. And I was like, okay, let's go for
it. I like that
book
cover.
It came out.
Nice.
There was actually two designs. And then I went and let about half a dozen people look at it and say, hey, what do you think? And this was the one that came out to be the winner.
Okay.
And it came out great.
Nice.
And then finally I did an interview, probably about 3 weeks ago, you know, just about a shy of a month.
Right.
And that was the first time I'd ever met him. And I probably hadn't been talking to him off and on for about 4 years.
Yeah, at some point, Brian and I will meet up, and that'll be fun to talk to him because he seems like a good guy. Love you too, brother. You did a hell of a job. You really did. I love this logo. I had somebody go, well, maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that. You know what? I love the freaking thing. It looks like I'm in front of the Parkway rest stops, John. And that's exactly what I was going for. That's exactly the greatest idea ever. So thanks, Brian. I appreciate. Actually, it was partially Brian's idea because I had a different idea at first, but I like this one. This one's even better. Lauren DeWoody, who helps out here at the station. Lauren, thank you for joining. Remember, you guys, if you have a question, you want to talk to us about anything between the book, which is the Underrated Rock Book, the 200 most over
overlooked. Yep.
The most 200 most overlooked albums 1970 to 2015, and I've read part of the book. I haven't had a chance to finish it, but I'm going to take the chance because I'll tell you what, it's really neat. And what's really good is it's an interactive book, Jim. Let me talk to about a couple people that are watching us right now, which is cool. One of them, you got to know, Maria Raimondo.
I do know Maria. Yes, I do.
Maria Raimondo is like the most awesome person in the world to me.
I agree.
Awesome. I mean, always upbeat, listens to everybody's problems. She's an athlete now. I mean, I don't know if you saw, she's like a triathlete.
I've seen it. I've seen it. I try too.
I wish I had the energy.
I wish I had the energy.
I mean, it amazes me how much energy this woman has. It really does. A really nice lady. Thanks, Maria, for tuning in. We both really appreciate it. You are, as they say, you are the bomb.
I went to high school with Maria.
Was it high school? I know.
Yeah,
I
went to high school.
She was at the college.
Yep, I went to high. Yeah, I went to high school with Maria. She was a year ahead. She was a year ahead of me. Not that we're aging ourselves here.
No,
you know.
No. But you know what? Let me tell you something. If Maria's a year ahead of you, you would never know it.
No.
Look at it, folks. Okay.
She still looks like she's in high school.
She still looks like she's in
stinking
high
school. Hey, listen.
I hate her for that.
Some people are gifted in other things, and some people are gifted on with the fountain of youth.
But you know what? She works at it. I mean, she's an athlete.
Yeah, well,
so
you know.
She really does work at it, and that's great. And she, to me, is an example of motivation. And like you are with your book, she's found a passion. And you have with this, with rock music. And we know that from when we were at the radio
station. Absolutely,
she's like, oh, hi, John. Oh, hi, Zach. Zach Reed, our COO from Quinn Broadcasting. And I do have to say something here. Quinn Broadcasting, who I've been working with and for in some capacity, I guess, the last few months, has really been good to me. And Zach's one of the guys that has been. And I need to thank them, especially for tonight, letting me use their facilities tonight. And actually, I got to go back and figure out how to turn everything off, but they left me instructions. but
can't be that hard, right?
No, it can't be because they're going to let me do it. So we put them on air, but when it comes to this push a button stuff, we're a little afraid.
Great responsibility.
Maria says, congratulations. Hi, Jim. She's smiling at us and says, congratulations on the book, I'm sure.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you, Maria, I feel bad that I didn't let you have a copy of my book today to at least look through, but I'll catch up with you because it really is a good read, and it's a lot of fun. Margie Homan, a friend of ours, has joined as well, so that's good as well. My friend Chrissy Yock. Chrissy, do I say your name wrong? I always say Iacovelli, but there's no Y in that. Hey, you would know. The name ends in a vowel. We've had all kinds of people whose names ended in vowels.
Except for Harris.
Jim Santoro, our production guy who helped me set up tonight here, Dave Virgilio. Thank you, Dave. Zachary Rito.
If you want to throw an O. And listen,
I'm throwing an O on the end of Zach's name.
You can throw an throw a vowel at the end of your name, and you'll be good to go.
One of my best friends, Andy Julia, might be listening. I don't know if he is, but he was on our first show. So there's another pie. So I should probably name this, the Paisans Public Jump. At some point, if you keep going this way, you might be onto a certain market. So it's Iacovelli, right?
Chrissy? Iacovelli. There you go.
Chrissy's another person who has some challenges and deals with them head on, and is a motivated person. And I marvel at that woman's perseverance. And I'm not going to go into that because that's her personal stuff. But I marvel at her perseverance and how much. She gets done and with the challenges she's had. And oh my gosh, look, I'm looking at my feed.
Look at that.
I didn't obviously subscribe to the Dollar Shave Club today, so I should have, I guess so. It says here my feed is failing to reconnect, but we're still on Iacovelli, so I said it right. And you know what? You told me there was a way to say Ico Valley, and you told me why, and I totally forgot. But no, you don't have to thank me. It's true, and you know it. So we're not going to get into a long discussion about that because it's true. Some of these people that we have that I know and you know, we just marvel at how much they how much they persevere and how much they're motivated. Yeah. So
motivation is the, motivation is the key.
It really is.
You got to.
Speaking of motivation, what motivated you to write this book? Jim, that's a segue in the business, a transition, isn't it?
I'll tell you the one thing. I mean, outside of all the other stuff that I've done,
right.
I was always drawn into bands that always seem to be under the radar. Or so,
right.
Like, you know, so you have like these, you know, for every Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and
right.
Motley Crue and then Cheap Trick, you know, you had all those bands. Then you have a second tier.
Right.
Or you have popular bands like in the book, like Aerosmith.
Right.
You know, or even a Led Zeppelin has, you know, there's that one album that doesn't quite get.
Oh,
look at
somebody
this.
Here, somebody
look
here this. Wants his autograph, folks.
Hold
only
on,
here.
Me. We'll get,
only
we'll
here
that, so.
On.
Make it out to John's Best Boss.
John's Best Boss.
I don't really write that much, but if
okay.
you want me to do that,
yeah,
there
go
we
ahead.
Go.
You know, so. Actually, right about now, you can. Because
there we go.
Pretty soon it's probably going to be John's Only Boss.
I'm going to print that part just so you can.
Now, if I still was married, that would be a different scenario.
Right.
But I have an ex-wife, folks, so a couple of them out there flying around somewhere.
I'm
so
wrong. Hi.
Hi,
Mom.
That's Zach Reed. He is the COO of Quinn Broadcasting,
right.
And we want to thank
there you
Zach
go, sir.
For
thank you.
All his assistance and all his help tonight. Letting us use facilities and helping me set up and stuff like that. And he's brought to, Zach's brief appearance was brought to you by Monster. Monster Energy Drink brought you Zach Reed
yeah.
real quick. So thanks, Zach.
Yeah.
Maria says, Jim, in your research, what band did you find most interesting and why? Oh, that's a great question.
That is a really
that's
good
awesome
question.
It's actually two questions in one, and doggone it, it's a fine question.
There were, it's interesting because there were a lot of bands, because it wasn't just, and I always tell people when they ask this question, the first 100 albums that I put together on here were the easiest ones. And then after that, it was like part of my collection where I'm kind of digging through stuff. And then the rest was all research. And so there were plenty of bands that people submitted to me and, you know, gave me some suggestions, check this album. And then I'd listen to it. I wouldn't find anything. Maybe that album or that release didn't
right.
really do anything for me. But then I'd find something else that kind of drew me in that certain
into
direction.
That direction right?
So a couple bands that kind of pop out at the top. There was a band in the 70s called Legs Diamond. That stands out. They were in the 70s, you know, and I'm gonna jump in the book here because, you know, I need. Sometimes you need.
For
it's
two,
a great reference.
One.
Well, two. Well, one. Well, one. It's a great book. Reference. It's a great book, but it's another. But you know, just so I can remember what I even said. But in 1977, they had an album that was called "A Diamond Is a Hard Rock."
Okay.
And they're kind of like this. They're kind of like in that stage before like. It really starts, that whole L.A. scene starts to break.
Right.
You know, here are these, there's these bands in the 70s, and Legs Diamond was in that mix. They had a song called A Diamond Is a Hard Rock, so it was a title track. The other song that stands out, because I don't want to confuse, because there was plenty of bands here, but there was another song called Woman, which was kind of more of a longer power ballad.
Okay.
But songs are so good. But so, you know, the question was, why wasn't this band, you know, as
up.
Big,
it,
you know, like,
up,
you know,
right?
Van Halen was kind of, you know,
right?
kind of starting. So they're in there at about the same time. But, you know, after that, after this album, you know, another album or two after that, and they
right.
kind of faded out. By the time the 80s kind of hit, they were done.
Right.
But they were, you know, in my opinion, that was the one band, like when I was going back, listening to different songs
uh-huh.
and stuff, I was always going back to what they were doing because
okay.
it was just they just had a certain sound and I'm like why is this
so
not
so you were kind of using them as a reference for certain things then really?
They were actually suggested to me by and I'm going to do a shout out I'm not sure if he's
go
on or not but Dominic Shork if I'm saying his last name right I'm sure I'm butchering it pretty good
well, I
Dominic was
Chrissy. I butchered a fan's
yeah.
name, a girl who I really like.
It's all
and
good.
I butchered her name.
As long
so,
as we apologize ahead
I,
of time,
I think
so
that's
good.
What's important, folks.
So,
we are truly
yeah.
sorry.
So Dominic, when I had my band Redliner, and right. we were going around and doing shows all over New Jersey. He was from North Jersey. He came to a bunch of shows. Used to go as far as helping us with the merch table, doing all that stuff.
So
when I was looking for suggestions in the book, he would provide me with like a list, and he would give me like a dozen albums.
Wow.
This is a person now in his house. He has a room.
In his house.
He's got a room. It is wall-to-wall CDs. He's always told me, if you ever want to come over and check out some stuff.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to, you know, not that we should burn MP3s off anybody and all that stuff. But.
LimeWire.
LimeWire forever.
That's way to go. LimeWire forever, dude.
But, you know, he has all this music mm-hmm. at his disposal. Yeah. And all the classic rock, hard rock, you know, right. you name it. Like, right. So he was giving me suggestions, and that's where I was finding all of this stuff. And actually, I don't know if you had actually seen some of the pictures that came up on my Underrated Rock Book page.
Yes, I did.
Where Corey Glover from Living Color was holding, and Don Jameson, they were holding.
I loved Living Color.
Living Color.
And not just the one album. I mean, the one album's got the two or three songs
right.
I love Living Color.
Yeah.
I think they are just...
They were
instrumentally, vocally they were great, but they just, to me, after the first album, they just didn't get the exposure, and to me it was exposure, because I thought the music was great.
And it was interesting, like and they were another band that with their first album, and I mean and really when we were in college, when we were doing the college radio thing, that's where we first heard them, we first heard them there. Cult of Personality hadn't even broken out. It was a college. It was like a big song in college.
We should take credit for playing that. Well, because we played the heck, not just us, but a lot of college DJs and a lot of college radio stations really played that. And to me, that's probably when it took off.
And that was really, I mean, it played heavy on college charts for months before it broke.
Before it kicked in, then it was
big. But then they had the second album, Time's Up.
Yes.
I think Time's Up. I never really listened to that. I knew that they won a Grammy for it, but...
we actually got that at WACC. That's where I heard it.
That's what you see. I had never really... A couple songs. Mm-hmm. What was it? Like Love Rears Its Ugly Head or something was on there. So my wife, Jennifer, who I'm not sure if she's listening, but if she is, hello. Love you, babe.
And if you're not,
I still love you.
That's right.
If you're not listening. But... I was rummaging, you know, I was even rummaging through her CD collection. And her musical tastes are a little bit different than mine. But it was still some good reference stuff.
Right.
That kind of sit there and go like, man, some of this stuff. And Living Color, Time's Up, was one of the albums that was in there.
Okay.
And I was listening to it and I was like, man, this is really good.
Yeah.
But my pick in here was the album Stain. Which was the third album.
Right.
And that kind of got more... They still had the elements of what they were doing, but they went a little bit heavier, a little bit darker.
Right.
And some of the subject matter was a little bit darker.
Which is strange, because even Cult of Personality is kind of dark. So if you can go darker than that...
Yeah, they were kind of... They kind of went more... A lot of bands during that time kind of had that grunge thing. Everybody's drop-tuning their music. They kind of did the same thing, but they kind of still, it was still Living Color, because Corey Glover, Corey Glover is an amazing vocalist.
Oh my
and
God,
Vernon
man.
Reed on the guitar. Yep. There's no,
there's no
argument there. He is an underrated guitarist in his own right.
Yes.
But that's an album that's in here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're a phenomenal band, but it was very cool going back to this story with this guy, Dominic.
Right.
He went up to this Ride for Dime event, which is it's a Dimebag Darrell. They kind of have like, they have all these bands and there's, you know, guys with motorcycles and stuff. They all come and hang out and stuff. And they had like a silent auction.
Okay.
And at the silent auction, they had the Underrated Rock Book there.
Oh, as really?
And it was funny because there was a picture. It was the Underrated Rock Book. And then behind it, all you saw were the necks.
Right.
But they were two Daryl Abbott guitars.
No way.
And one, I think, had like some sort of Pantera kind of logo on it and stuff. And I was like, man, I wish they would have rose those up. That would have been a great photo.
Of your book,
but
that would have been great.
But then... Dom, and what happened, and I'll tell you the other story. I was at the Collingswood Book Festival on October 6th.
Right.
And it was a great day. We met a lot of people. We sold a lot of books. I did a lot of autograph signing for people that already had books. Right. Dominic comes down. He wants to buy a book. Okay. And I said, yeah, okay. And then he's asked me how much. And I, you know, I give him a price. And he goes, well, how much for 10? I was like, you want to buy 10 books? And he's like, yeah, I want to give them away. Well, then he said, well, I'm going to go to this this Ride for Dime event.
Right.
And I'm going to, he says, Corey Glover's going to be there. He goes, I want to get Corey Glover. I said, well, Living Color's in the book. By all means, give him a copy.
Give him a copy.
And he says, Don Jameson's going to be there too. And I'm like, Don Jameson? I'm like, yeah, he does a lot of stuff with like the hard rock metal stuff. He's from that metal show, formerly that metal show, because it doesn't exist anymore. But he actually does, in North Jersey, he does a lot of shows where he is like the, I don't know if he's the promoter or if sometimes he'll go on and he'll do his own little comedy stuff.
Right.
But he'll have all these different bands play.
Nice.
So Don Jameson got a copy. So it was really cool to see those pictures come back of these guys holding the book, which is cool.
That's neat.
And the one cool thing about the book itself is when I was reaching out to different artists, because one of the things I was trying to do was trying to get pictures from pictures of different artists that were going to be in the book. And it was, and of course, I got most artists ignored emails.
Right. Oh no, yeah.
But then there were some that tried to, you know, see what they could find, and the ones that did send stuff, there were so many of them that were really into it. Like, wow, that's great! Thanks for putting this in your book and stuff. You know, and I mean, most of them were kind of these second tier bands like, well, you know, I'm wearing one of the shirts now, Driving and Crying. Which has always been one of my favorite bands.
I just thought it was a road rage thing.
Sometimes.
On my way here, but I was crying. I'm like, am I going to get here?
But I remember I was talking to their PR person that does all their stuff, and she was like the guys are really excited to be a part of the book, and there was this band Magna Pop, which was the lead people. It's a female singer. Linda Hopper and Ruthie Morris, who's a guitar player.
Right.
I was actually speaking to Ruthie Morris directly in emails and said, hey, you know, can we get a picture? They gave me a picture. She was really cool and excited about it and stuff. And and there were so many other different bands that were like very cool that, you know, they were going to be in this book.
Right.
And that was the kind of thing to kind of look at me like, you know, there's bands that are so appreciative of that, you know, because, you know, they put, and I know being a musician myself and being a vocalist in a couple bands and stuff too, you pour all this energy into writing songs and performing. And you know the same thing being a comedian, you know, you pour all this stuff into it. You know, you're very appreciative of the things where somebody gives you praise or recognizes you. And some of these bands, are, you know, they've kind of been out of the scene for a lot of time, 20, 25, 30 years. They might still be playing, you know, one-off shows or they're not playing, but they're appreciative when they are getting recognized and they see that. And it's like, it's very cool. And then they'll do whatever, like a couple bands posted things on their social media sites and their websites to sit there and say, hey, we're in this underrated rock book. Check it out. And stuff. So very cool.
Margie Homan's watching. Thanks, Margie. Margie's a regular listener and viewer of Quinn Broadcasting stuff I'm on. And she actually came out last week to Leatherhead Comedy Club when we did the first one. So that was nice. Thanks, Margie. And Deanna Glenn, who is a friend of ours from Quinn Broadcasting as well. Thank you, Deanna, for watching. I really appreciate it. You're awesome. I don't care what anybody says about you. Nobody say anything, I swear. I have that. It's like, well, what'd they say? Oh, jeez.
There you go. Hey, can we do a quick plug here for anybody?
Oh, sure.
Let's do a quick plug.
So if anybody's
interested in this book, the Underrated Rock Book, you can go. The easiest way is probably to go directly to my website, which is underratedrockbook.com.
Okay.
You can go there. There's a link to Amazon. And it'll take you
right to that page. Today.
So
take you right to the Amazon.
You go right to the page.
It goes right to you.
We do have it available in paperback.
Okay.
And we also have it available in Kindle.
Okay. Oh,
it's so it's
okay.
it is available on Kindle, right? Yes.
Okay,
so
nice.
I'm not really a Kindle guy. I've always been a paperback
right.
guy.
Right. I know.
But, it's available. It's available there. You can grab it. The way I look at it, there's certain people, and also you can go to Facebook and check out. If you do a search on Underrated Rock Book, we're there.
Yes.
We do a lot of cool things there. We post videos. We talk about different stuff. So there's quite a few people that get on there and, you know, kind of do their own thing and stuff there too. So it's pretty cool that way. But with going back to the book, and of course I lost my train of thought, that's how it works sometimes. We were talking about the types of people that I think that would be into this book is, If you're going back, and really my other theme here was, a lot of people aren't into what rock music is right now.
Right.
And really, if you're listening to the radio, you know, outside of a couple rock stations, and even then, they're still playing, they're basically classic rock stations.
Right.
And there's a small piece of them that are playing newer music.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? So it's not... You know, when you think like a station that would be playing all like newer artists,
right?
Those days are kind of gone. There's, I mean, I think a lot of it's because people are on the internet,
mm-hmm.
they're on Spotify, they're on YouTube,
right.
they're checking out all these different videos.
And
the other thing is though, the music that's popular right now, which
mm-hmm.
is all this like pop and hip hop and stuff, it's so easy to produce,
right?
That they can go in and just, you know, most of it, you can do stuff on a computer and recreate stuff.
Right.
You know, the days of actually having a band go into a studio, you know, that was the kind of the difference. Even the difference, like when you looked at some hip-hop bands, and I like plenty of hip-hop bands back in the day, you know, like Run DMC, Public
Run
Enemy,
DMC
all
that
stuff. But when you actually saw those bands,
mm-hmm.
they had elements of rock in them.
Right.
Run DMC was like the first one that really kind of had a lot of elements of, you know, rock music. And then the Beastie Boys as well. And Public Enemy also, I still remember that their first two albums, and going back to talking about Vernon Reid from Living Color, the Public Enemy album, Yo, Bum Rush the Show, came out in 1987.
Okay.
They have a song called Sophisticated Bitch.
Right.
Vernon Reid.
Not my ex-wife, by the way.
No.
She was an unsophisticated.
Unsophisticated.
Yeah.
but Vernon Reid does a guitar solo. He actually plays the guitar.
Okay.
And then he does
a
solo in it. And it's like, and this, that's how I found out about Living Color.
Right.
Like when Living Color came out and they said, oh, Vernon Reid. I said, wait a minute. That guy was playing guitar on Sophisticated Bitch.
Yeah.
I know that guy. You know what I mean? But so there was rock artists. There was a time, you know, even going back to like where like Michael Jackson and Eddie Van Halen does a solo and Beat It.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a rock element. That's like when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like when people sit there and say, I love these arguments when people sit there and say, well, they were a rap artist. That's not rock and roll. Now you got to kind of go back to the, maybe the music now doesn't really relate to anything rock and roll.
Right.
But the artists that are making the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now that are in that category,
rock.
You know, they kind of have elements of rock.
I don't know if you've seen it, and I know I'm probably interrupting you.
No, you're fine.
There's a great clip, and some people may have heard about it, I'm not sure, on YouTube. Not so long ago, there was another a tribute, I believe, to George Harrison.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you remember the first one.
Right.
A year after he passed away.
Right.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a quick video on YouTube of Prince.
Yes.
And did you know the backstory is originally George's wife didn't want Prince to play the guitar on this,
mm-hmm.
but he plays a solo on While My Guitar Gently
Weeps. Yes.
And if you didn't know that Prince could play guitar, if you thought Prince was just a pop guy, you are sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
Watch that. Because when she
mm-hmm.
watched him, she said, oh my God. And the backstory there was, I'm sorry. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he just took
yeah.
that and ran with it. And it's just like one of the greatest guitar pieces, I think, solo wise, well, I've ever seen.
Well, the thing about Prince was he was a rock guy before he was like once.
A lot of people didn't know.
They didn't
that.
Know that. Like his first album. I mean, his first album comes out in like 79, 80, somewhere around there, and it's more like rock, some funk based, and stuff. And then people start catching on when like 1999 comes out. The album 1999.
Right.
Well, I still remember WMMR back in the day playing MMR. Little Red Corvette on MMR in the 80s. Well, they also played Culture Club back in the day too. They might not admit that now, but they did.
They won't
but
admit
yeah,
it. Okay.
but they did play a lot of these bands. And then, you know, Prince took off like 1999 kind of got him, and then it was Purple Rain, and then after that he really wasn't. I mean, he became a pop guy, but really, his music kind of transcended all that. So,
you listen to some of those pop songs per se. And we're putting for those of you that are listening to us on Wildfire Radio and not seeing the Facebook live feed. In all honesty, Jim and I both have just put up the old air quotes when we say pop. I should explain it. When you see Prince did pop,
but he did.
But you know, in a lot of his pop songs, if you listen to them, the elements of rock are in there, especially guitar. There's almost always in any Prince song at least a real, somewhat, even if it's just a few seconds or a few minutes, of some kind of guitar riff. And folks, let me tell you, that lead guitar is Prince.
Yeah,
he could play. He could play some serious guitar.
When he did the Super Bowl.
Yes.
If anybody, you know, he was a guy that he was multi, I think he was a multi-instrumentalist anyhow.
I saw a thing where he played drums.
Yeah, and
he could do just about anything.
And one of my favorite songs was Raspberry Beret.
Yeah.
Because now, of course, it's a very popular pop song. It's on the radio all the time. But that song even has kind of a psychedelic quality to it.
Right.
You know, that some of his other songs don't. You know, you don't really notice that, like, you know, because where the other ones could kind of go on the rock side, he always could flip it. And that was always the cool thing about, and really a lot of the artists that are in this book, some of the things that are, some of the albums that are in here that are listed are underrated are because bands or solo performers, whoever they were, they decided they were going to flip it.
Right.
And the audience
didn't follow them. Right.
A couple albums that come to mind here, Cheap Trick's All Shook Up, because Cheap Trick at the time were riding this wave of success.
Right. Yeah.
They had the At Budokan album had come out.
Album.
It was huge. That kind of gave them, because then that meant when that album came out, all their previous records where they were just kind of making a little bump in the road, all of a sudden they were super huge.
Yeah.
They pushed back. They had the album Dream Police. That got pushed back out almost a year after Budokan because Budokan was huge in Japan.
Yeah.
And then they said, hey, we need this market here. And it blew up.
So then they did
Dream Police.
Right.
But now they're a different band now.
Yeah.
And Rick Nielsen and Bunny Carlos are being the backing band for John Lennon when he does Double Fantasy.
Yep.
So they're kind of a different band. Then they got, what's his name?
And you know what? If I'm saying your name wrong again, I met a very funny up-and-coming comic.
Yeah,
cool. He's going to be funny as heck. Well, he is already funny. But he's an up-and-coming comic. We were on a couple shows recently, and we ran into each other. This guy is hysterical. Sorry, I took you off.
No, you're fine.
But I want to thank him for watching and spread the word, because this is a new podcast that I've started, and this is my friend Jim Santora. And we're going to hold up the book, Jim. Hold up the book.
Let me hold up the book.
There it is, Jim.
The underrated rock book. Where am I?
You're right there, Jim.
Yeah.
There it is. We're holding it up for Facebook Live, folks. So for you Wildfire people, let us know what the name of the book is, Jim.
It is The Underrated Rock Book, The 200 Most Overlooked Albums, 1970 to 2015.
Awesome.
Available on Amazon, paperback, and Kindle. You can check it out by searching Underrated Rock Book at Amazon, or you can go to underratedrockbook.com.
Awesome.
So,
and you've got some stuff on YouTube I saw as well.
Yes, I actually have a playlist. I try to do as much work for people as possible. So one of the things we have is if you go to YouTube, there's a YouTube. I do have. If you go to underratedrockbook.com, there is a YouTube link where you can check out videos. One video from each album that's in the Underrated Rock
Book. Okay.
Now, I will say there's 199 videos.
Right.
Because I can't remember which band I'm leaving out. So at some point, when I get a minute, I'll fix that and add that 200 band. So
it's 199. There's one short.
If anybody can find it, if you read the book, you might be able to find it.
Read the book and then go back and look at that. You may say, hey, this one's missing.
Yeah. And the other thing I did.
Frank Thon. Thank you for joining in. Frank's a good friend of our shows and is actually an actor.
Oh, nice.
He was on a show recently. He's actually going to be on a television series. Frank, if you want, send me the name of that, and we'll put that out here for some people as well. If you can, I don't know if you can or not.
Cool.
But he was on, and Frank's a very talented actor. But
so I just wanted to also. I lost my thought again.
I don't know what this is.
You're fine. Oh, I know what it was. With the songs, what I also did in the back of the book, I listed a song from each album.
Saw
you saw that.
I did see that.
Because I do that work for everybody, too.
What a guy.
Because if you want to look, you could go to Spotify. You can go to YouTube. I mean, there's a few albums in here that are like out of print and they're hard to find. I'll give you an example. There's a band called The Bags that's in here. And
see, there's another ex-wife joke waiting there.
What, The Bags?
Yeah,
the bags, hits just keep coming.
The hits just keep on coming, folks.
But they had an album. They had an album in the late 80s. It was called Rockstarve.
Okay.
And great album. I picked that up in the WACC days.
Okay.
And then what happened is they never really materialized into something else. I mean, they were kind of in that where if they kind of had an opportunity, they could have been like on that riding that wave with Nirvana if they would have kept going. They had a really great sound, not necessarily metal, but definitely closer to the grunge kind of sound. But they were from New England, so they were kind of kind of like in that scene somewhere around like Dinosaur Jr. And stuff like that, Lemonheads and all these 90s bands that were, that kind of came out.
Gotcha.
But now you go to trying to think what site I saw it on. Probably was Amazon. You do a search on Rockstar from The Bags. They're selling the album. People are selling the album for like $200+
are
if you
serious?
Want a copy of it. I don't even think I think it's a used record too.
Wow.
It's like it's interesting to see certain albums that all of a sudden they just disappear. But there's people that love it, and then you go and it's like it's $200. The other album that also was in the book, but has since been picked up a couple years ago and got re-released, was an album from a band called Game Theory called Lolita Nation. Came out in 87, and it was a double album.
Okay.
And it was big on the college charts. Another one, it was big on the college charts, but really didn't do anything past that.
Okay.
And then the album went out of print, and then you go do search on it, and I mean, people were looking for $200, $250 for an album. I mean, it's a double album, so,
And
then a couple years ago, there was, I can't remember what the name of the label was, but they started re-releasing all of this Game Theory material.
Okay.
So, like, all the Game Theory albums all of a sudden got re-released. So for those people that are trying to sell it for $200 now, they can forget about it.
Yeah, forget it. It's out there, right? Forget it. Forget about it. So I am with Jim Santora. He wrote the Underrated Rock Book, the 200 Most Overlooked Albums from 1970 to 2015. Let's put it here. We're actually getting a couple video feeds. So there's one.
There you go.
Woo! 3D.
Yep.
And there it is again. If you're actually watching, there's always one.
Put your 3D goggles
on. Put my
3D
gift. It's not Joel's, but put your 3D goggles on in 3D. Got to mention a couple of things. First, we want to thank Quinn Broadcasting. Our opinions are ours because this is the Public John podcast on wildfireradio.com. Also, you may be listening by the time you do to us on iTunes or on Google Play as well. We're also, again, on Facebook Live. We're also right now on YouTube streaming. We want to thank Quinn for that as well.
Thank you.
On the Quinn Broadcasting Channel. So we thank them for that. We've got probably about 15 or 20 minutes left, but I did want to mention that that our opinions, of course, especially, and Quinn wants to make it very clear that my opinions, anything that I say,
definitely your opinion.
Definitely on my own. Yes. Okay, anything I say, Quinn's like, no way. So, look, we're letting him use the building because he's going to mop the floor when he's done. Other than that, no, we can't have John.
Yes.
John's opinions are John's opinions. John's facts are John's opinions.
There you go. now we got that cleared away.
All cleared away. Jim's opinions and facts. Jim's facts are actually facts. My facts. I do look at the Google and all that I'll say anything. Even my ex-wife facts are Googled.
Really?
So when I say something about that, I've Googled it and made sure.
Oh, make sure.
Like the uncultured, unsophisticated. Was she? Boom. No. So I have verified all these things, folks.
Very good.
But Quinn's. Quinn Communications, they have absolutely nothing to do with any of our opinions here on the public channel on wildfireradio.com. And I don't know if you've listened to anything else on wildfireradio.com, but I'll tell you what, it's a great station, and it's got a variety of everything from sports to rap to rock to whatever you want. You can find it on there.
Yeah. And I actually listened to some programs. Well, the Idiots used to have a show there. And I was actually on the Idiots show with Andy and company.
And crew, right?
Yeah. I knew Anthony. I mean, Andy and I go back from high school. Larry, the intern, I knew pretty close.
I was in that crew.
So my dad and Schmo's dad, they were in the same class together. They were in high school together, and Schmo was a year behind me.
Okay.
Schmo and I actually were in a band with another guy, John Wiesner. This is back in like high school, and it was like, and I played bass, not well at all. It was bad.
Yeah.
And John Wiesner, he went by the name of JT Rage, and he played the drums, then he played guitar. And we were really this band that had a drummer, a bass player, and we had a keyboard, and all we did was and then Schmo, I sang, we all sang. But Schmo sang. One of his songs.
Did you ever hear? Did you know that? Andy knows that.
I gave Andy a clip of Schmo singing. There was a song called Jack O'Lantern.
Yes,
which is perfect for Halloween.
I did hear about this. Andy Julie, if you're watching this Jack O'Lantern clip, I gotta hear or see. So I think I may have been there because I was a guest a few times on there, and they were really great to me, especially when I first started out. Andy had me on, and I got to go on there. And I think one of the shows I was there and they played it. And I think Andy had looked it up, and they played the audio clip.
That's my bass riff. Actually.
That was your bass riff.
It's like one string.
We heard Schmo make an effort at vocals, and I was like.
I thought originally
when they did it that they were joking. I thought, Schmo went somewhere and somebody did this for the show.
The keyboard, how this worked was, and then I felt like I was at a moment I was kind of like Geddy Lee from Rush,
right?
Because I'm playing the bass, and then we had this keyboard part, and all it was we had this, I forget the name, they called it a fuzzy clave or whatever it was. So we hit the button, we hit the key,
right?
And then we had a foot pedal.
Okay.
And I put my foot on the foot pedal, we hit the key, and that's the other part of the song. It's going through. And then I'm playing the bass.
Yeah, there's special effects.
And I was like, that was my Geddy Lee moment. I was actually a multi-instrumentalist.
That song
was brutally awful. So.
But we
had fun. If you're not having fun,
And music's a great way to have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we had it at the radio station. Radio station's back in air quotes again.
Yeah.
but you know what? We were able to play music and blast it and have some fun. And that's what mattered to us.
And you know, I mean, and actually, if it wasn't for that time, that particular time, I don't know if I ever put this book together.
Right.
Because I don't get, you know, that was an important time for me musically.
Right.
That was an important time because prior to that, my musical stuff, and I even though we were listening, like, you know, in the 80s, hair bands were all big.
Right, yeah.
But while all my friends are like Motley Crue and Rat and all the big names, I'm finding bands like Loudness from Japan.
Right.
And then what's the other band that comes off of? Zebra, which was more okay. of a prog. They were more kind of a almost like a proggy type band.
Yeah.
But these were the kind of the bands that were like a lower level than what it was, right?
Scorpion, and then all those things.
Yeah. And then so when I got to Atlanta Community College and they got the College Station,
right?
Like all of a sudden I'm finding all like then yeah. I was then I'm into.
Yeah. You know, and they were the albums we got.
Right. That's what was over here, right. But then I was in the punk rock. You know, I got into punk rock because of that station. A lot of the modern rock. I always say, when the 90s came,
right.
and all these bands, the Chili Peppers, Soul Asylum, Soundgarden, Nirvana.
Right.
REM was already kind of an established band. Yeah. Trying to think who was... I wanted to say Pearl Jam, but not Pearl Jam, but Mother Love Bone.
Oh, yes.
Before they would be, you know, then they before became Pearl Jam. But all these different bands that got big in the 90s, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, Nirvana, Soundgarden. Like, wait a minute. I was listening to these bands in 1988, 89, you know, 1990, you know, when I finally graduated. I mean, like, these bands were already putting out, you know, Soundgarden already had like two or three albums
before they got big.
Soul Asylum, same thing. I think they had four albums.
They had stuff out.
The Goo Goo Dolls is they kind of give a story in the book here.
Right.
The Goo Goo Dolls, everybody knows the Goo Goo Dolls as being as great like in the 90s for the modern rock ballads.
Yeah.
Iris,
yeah.
Name. Black Balloon, they had all these big hits in the 90s and the early 2000s. They still were kind of carrying this torch. What people don't realize about the Goo Goo Dolls is their 80s, their albums from the 80s, before they got signed to a major label, they were like melodic punk rock. They were fast. They played heavy.
Right.
And they just, they were just off the hook.
Yeah.
And, in 1988, 89, I can't remember what dates because they all kind of run in together. But they're in the book. There's an album called Jed. And if you don't get the book, seriously.
If you don't get the book, what happens, Jim?
Nothing. You just check this stuff out on YouTube or whatever. But seriously, underratedrockbook.com. But the album Jed, definitely go check it out. You're going to find out that the band that you know as the Goo Goo Dolls was a different band at one time. And they had songs. They had a song called Up Yours. That was a full-on punk song. It's funny when I sit there and people say, oh, I like the Goo Goo Dolls. You ever heard the song Up Yours? No, they don't sing that. You know, you didn't know.
So. Drew Papsky, thanks. Hey, Drew, do me a favor if you're still watching. Send me the name of your podcast. I know you have one. Drew is a big Flyers fan. And he's got a podcast as well. And I think he does a lot of the Flyers talk and stuff. It's awesome. I've heard it and I can't remember the name of it. I'd have to look it up again. You know what happens when you get older? You don't know yet. But
yeah, I'm getting there. Give me time. Give me time.
You lose some stuff.
I've been doing it during the show. What are you talking about?
But you and me both. But anyway, we do want to thank a lot of people a few people anyway that are watching. I'm saying a lot, but some of them are repetitive. I want to thank Maria Raimondo, Chrissy Icavelli, and I should have known how to say it the first time. I messed it. She told me a while back, and again, remember what we were saying about
that?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank Chrissy for watching, Maria, Margie Homan, Drew Papsky, Brian Clauder, Deanna Glenn, Maddie Drummond. I thanked Brian Clowder. My friend Dennis Ingraldi, who's been on our show.
And
he's been on the Quinn show, and he doesn't know it yet, but soon he's going to be on this show.
Oh, okay.
On the public John. Dennis, hey Dennis, how you doing? This is my friend Jim Santora who wrote.
What's
Jim,
up?
Hold it up for the Facebook people.
The underrated rock book, the 200 most overlooked albums, 1970-2015.
Awesome.
Everybody needs a copy of this book. Christmas is coming.
You know, that's true.
Here, I'll do another quick plug here.
Do another
Christmas,
quick plug, Jim.
Christmas is coming.
And what would you want to put under the tree for Christmas, Jim?
Well, if you have a family member or a friend that loves rock music of all different varieties and styles.
Absolutely.
And especially from the years 1970-2015.
Oh, sure.
This would be a great book to give them.
This would be the book to give them for Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Jim Santora, who I appreciate the early Christmas gift.
Hey,
thanks, Jim. There it is.
You're welcome.
Happy holidays to all of you. Get this book. You can find it on Amazon. You can check out some of the songs on YouTube, the 199.
Yes. The 199 out of 200.
Out of 200, a song from each of the albums. You can go on Facebook and you can get it. It's also available on Kindle, right?
Yep.
Paperback book as well. Dennis and Growdy, what's my name? My name is John Harris. Sorry, Dennis, you didn't know who I was. Dennis knew who I was. Say your name. So I'm saying my name, John Harris. Yep. There's something that Quinn Broadcasting will say is John Harris's opinion.
John Harris's opinion.
And the way he spoke was all on him.
There you go.
So there it is. Thank you, Dennis. He is a really cool guy. Jim Santora, an author, and I'm proud to say he's my friend. We actually did college radio station together
in a closet without a window.
Like now,
without
like
a window,
got
yeah.
a window. We
it was a fire hazard,
and were
actually.
We probably
but,
the
know.
Only two guys that did rock and roll? Because everybody
no,
else did
everybody,
rap
no,
and roll,
no,
right?
I think we did. I think there was a lot of guys that did rock.
Did they?
I still remember.
Might have been me that I slipped blues in. Maybe I was.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But you know, we did have
some
people that did some really cool like hip hop shows. We had a reggae show.
I seem to remember
that we had a reggae show.
Right, we did. I did a blues show.
Right, you had a blues show.
And then we both did rock and roll shows.
We did rock and roll shows. I used to do. I remember doing. I did a full on like hard rock metal show.
Yes.
And then I did then I did an alternative rock show.
Yes.
And then I think every once in a while I would just mix it up and play whatever I felt like. That time, you know, if and now it's great because now I mean,
oh, closet. I think she means closets. Maria is like closets usually don't have windows.
Yeah, closets.
Maria worked at and I had worked there after I graduated at Atlanta Community College at the time. There were only two C's.
Yeah.
Now there's three.
Yeah, there's three.
And at the time. She's right. Closets don't usually have windows.
Yeah.
This thing was basically a closet.
It was a closet.
She's dead on there.
It was a fire. It was a fire hazard. If a fire went in and those doors were closed, we were all doomed.
It was over. It was done. Unless you were wearing asbestos, you had no shot. And of course,
you really couldn't wear asbestos.
It's illegal. So
and you really couldn't have more than two people in the room.
Yes.
And we used to have sometimes a dozen people
in
there.
You'd see a dozen people crammed in there like those old phone booth Volkswagen jokes, you know? And if the fire marshal ever came by and saw more than two people, it would close the radio station.
I mean, that was really once I got into, you know, Atlanta Community College, when I first went there, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then once I actually got in that station, that's when I wanted to get involved more into the radio communications, which eventually it took me 10 years, but I got my degree in communications journalism.
Okay.
Which, you know,
it's coming handy.
Yeah. I mean, even though I may not have ever really, got on, you know, big radio or something like that.
My friend Dennis is like, which college was this? I went to a few.
He knows me.
Yeah, we bounced around a little bit.
But
at the time, it was ACC. Now it's ACCC. And I admit that I still have problems saying it, even though I'm glad they are part of Cape May County and a big part of Cape May County.
Mm-hmm.
I still have problems saying. Last time we said ACCC, it was because of the Academy of Culinary Arts.
Right,
because
that
was also the college. That was ACCC.
Yes. Yep.
So I guess now that's probably ACCCC. See you later. I don't know. I'm lost now. I don't know. But Margie Homan, yes, radio station in a closet. Yeah, it almost sounds like one of those Saturday Night Live skits. I got this in a box.
Yeah.
You too can listen to a radio station in a closet, tonight from 6 to 7.
It was something. It was
something. Man. But it was also a good time.
Well, of course, it was one step towards... It was either that or a dumpster.
Or a dumpster.
And you had nothing.
Yeah,
so,
it was, yeah. So
you take what you get. Yes.
Every so often we would have so many records because... like most radio stations, the one thing I will say is the record company sent us records. We didn't have to buy them.
Right.
They knew we were playing them. Hopefully some used deodorant before they went to the station. There were times that didn't happen, I think.
There were some people there who needed to learn.
We were trying to send them to a different class that they should have taken in high school called health.
Yes.
Health.
And hygiene.
And it wouldn't surprise me if a couple times we gave away bars of soap for Christmas.
Which if
you
we
always,
did that.
And if you ever wonder, I mean, how do you give somebody that?
Yeah,
but then again, sometimes you got to sometimes for the masses.
For all the right reasons.
Yeah, it's a perfect.
There was a definite cast of characters. But
yeah.
There's cast of characters anywhere
you
go.
Right,
but,
in
yeah.
anything you do. And this was such a great eclectic group because music brings that out.
Yes.
Yes. So
that
was
the one. That was one thing we did have a pretty good. We did have a really good group of people.
Yeah, we did.
Do you remember? We had a survey.
Right.
I don't know if you were a part of this, but we had a survey, because we wanted to see because people were like, what's the radio station we played too
right.
much hard rock or metal or whatever. So we had a survey, right?
Right.
So I remember I typed up the survey, we printed it out, and we rigged it.
Yeah.
So that it was like all these different categories.
Yes,
it was hard rock, metal, punk, and it was all these different. And then like all these people were like checking off, "Hey, we win!
We're still playing hard rock." Congratulations,
yeah.
And everybody's like,
"What's going on here?
What happened to rap?
Yeah.
What happened to hip hop?
Yeah,
oh, I don't know. People didn't vote for it.
Well, I think people wanted more Madonna or something.
Yeah,
that wasn't
we crossed. No, you couldn't have that. But we've had a great time tonight and reliving some stuff. I hope to have Jim back again some other time when he writes his next book, which we've already discussed that there probably will be a sequel.
Actually, I got one other announcement.
One other announcement. Well, then, doggone it.
I might be getting back in the game here.
Really?
Getting
back into broadcasting,
Jim? Might get back into broadcasting here. When I do,
yes.
I want John Harris to be... the third wheel on a rotating wheel.
Wow.
Because we're going to do, the way it's going to be the Underrated Rock Show.
Okay.
So we're going to feature underrated artists and songs.
Okay.
We're going to really focus on the book.
Right.
The way it's going to be set up. And we're going to have a little bit of, a little bit of humor mixed into it and stuff.
I got only a little bit.
My wife, Jennifer, me and her are going to kind of tag team on this.
Okay.
And then we're going to invite a third person into our mix. And I said if I was going to get back on,
right.
I wasn't going to do it by myself. Well, I always did it by myself.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah.
You know what? I want to kind of have a group to do it.
And it's always good to have somebody to bounce stuff off of anyway.
Right. And that's what the idea is going to be. So
podcast needs a theme song. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to talk to this guy right here about getting one, Dennis. You're right, actually. I'm working on the technical end on how to do that. But this is the guy I'm going to talk to about getting it because you're absolutely right. I need a theme song. I mean, I have one for me personally when I go outside, that old
we'll
guy.
Figure
that
something
I do
out.
Have my own.
We'll figure
but,
something out.
But I'll talk to Jim here and get us a theme song.
Yeah, we'll figure
song.
Something
Thanks
out.
For
so,
the idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
I thought of it, but then it just goes away. But now now that I put it on Jim's plate, he'll make me follow up on it. So
there
that'll
you
be
go.
Good.
Yeah, we'll,
that's,
we'll,
that's
we'll,
your job.
We'll be on that. That's my job. So
that's his job. He's got to do that.
So.
You're listening to The Public John on wildfireradio.com, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Facebook Live. Right now we're also streaming on Quinn Broadcast Communications channel on YouTube. Maria, thank you. It was great to see you today. And
yes, thank you, Maria.
Thank you for watching. She says it's great watching both of you.
Great.
That's actually true because we hadn't been together very often in the last few years. So for both of us to just...
Well, I always saw pictures of the two of you guys with coffee and all
is?
That stuff. So I was like, man,
when we see each other, and usually it's just lunch or a quick cup of coffee, like 9 out of 10 times, it's like we're two little kids.
Yeah.
It's like we would laugh cool. at the stupidest things. It was, I don't even have to tell jokes. Yeah. I mean, it's like I'll look at something and point, and we both kind of sometimes know what mm-hmm. I'm going to say, and yeah. we don't have to, or some face we make, or some right, quick right. remark. Yep. And it's not just me, it's her too. She's hysterical. Yeah. I think personally, yeah. But it's because she's so positive, she just kills me. But it was great to see you today. The pictures with coffee. I mean, we even have trouble taking pictures of two of us.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, selfies are, you know, most people take awful selfies.
Selfies are no joke. Yeah. I mean, I took a bunch of them. We looked and went, nah. No, she has to delete. Gone. She has to take it. She's like, you can't. I can't believe you, Mr. IT, can't do this. And she's dead right. I can't. But half the time it's because I'm laughing.
Too yeah.
Fun. Shit, it's like two teenagers. It's like two little kids getting together. You know, we both got new bikes, so we're gonna go out and crash into each other.
Woohoo!
Maybe mom and dad will get us another bike. Probably not. But in my case, they're like, no. But Margie Hellman says, great interview, guys. My friend Dennis says, nice job, guys. Thanks, Dennis. We appreciate it. We appreciate all you guys. Spread the word for two things, please, if you would, do me a favor. The Facebook page for the podcast, the Public John Facebook page. I can't mm-hmm. get it out. The Public John on Facebook. Please look up the page, and that way it makes it easier for us. Because I think there might be a couple little technical difficulties with the video, but I'm not sure. It looks like it's going out okay here, because I want to thank Quinn Broadcasting for letting us use their facilities tonight. Zach Reed, Dave Virgilio, helped me set it up tonight. We want to thank those guys, and they taught me how to shut it down. So that's what I got to do.
A high quality presentation.
High quality H2O.
Yeah.
You get high quality.
There's no guarantee that's going to happen next week.
Because I don't know where I'll be. The first one wasn't high quality. I think this one is. Like I said, right now we're on YouTube's Quinn Broadcasting channel. Please check out Quinn Broadcasting. They work with the community. They're working with me tonight, which was really great of them. Thank you. I'm going to give a shout out to them for Off the Cuff tomorrow night with Jim Quinn out at the New Jersey Motor Sports Park. Remember, anything that I've said or done tonight that seems to not maybe fit the normal mode is on me. It's on thepublicjohn.com on Wildfire Radio. It has nothing to do with Quinn Broadcasting as far as my content. Jim's content was pretty safe, so they're probably
pretty
okay.
safe. There you go.
There it is.
It's right here. You can't go wrong.
You plug your book.
Underrated rock book.
Underrated rock book.
UnderratedRockBook.com.
.com, right? You got a page. Or what?
If you go to, if you send me an email at Jim at underratedrockbook.com.
Okay, Jim at
underratedrockbook.com.
Okay,
contact me and we can talk about, if you're interested in the book, I will send you an autographed copy. We'll work out all the other details as far as, you know.
Oh, there you go.
The book sells for $13.99.
Okay.
But
autograph rounds.
But if you send an email to Jim@underratedrockbook.com.
Jim@underratedrockbook.com.
But if you
I'll say it right the minute there, Polly.
$13. It'll end up being $13 and probably $5 shipping and handling, which is still cheaper than Amazon.
Right. Oh, is it real?
By a couple bucks.
Okay.
And actually, I made the mistake, you know, because. Some people, you know, I give the wrong amount for shipping and handling.
Uh-oh.
And like all next thing you know, it's like, oh, that's how much it is? Like,
wait,
that book's only going to Hammonton from
right,
Bridgeton.
Yeah,
it's
from
like,
Bridgeton
like
Hammond,
yeah, it's like, yeah, it's $6. What are $6? What? But okay, it's all good.
If anybody's interested,
but like I said, for Christmas is coming.
Yes.
Christmas is coming.
And, you know, it's got one of the holiday festive covers in it already.
It does have some red in it.
So we're halfway to the festive covers.
So we're good. But if you do get it, definitely appreciate it. So
Dennis says, first he says, I'm not upside down, which I was last week.
Okay.
The video from Facebook, we couldn't get around. I'm upside down. There we go. Just in case you guys missed it, Jim's going to relive last episode's thing, and we just had the book upside down for a second. So you're right, Dennis. Thanks. And Dennis wants to know if he gets a discount if he says he watched the show.
If he gets, I'll tell you what. If you send an email.
Send an email to
jim@underratedrockbook.com.
jim@underratedrockbook.com.
And here's what we'll do.
What are we going to do, Jim?
Not including the shipping and handling, we will sell the book for $10.
Oh, instead of the $13.99?
Instead of the $13.99.
So actually, Dennis, you are going to get a discount. That's a pretty good discount.
Now, plus shipping and handling. Might be around $5, $4 or $5.
But it's 15 instead of about 19
yes,
or 20.
Yes.
So, okay. So you're probably saving about 25% there, Dennis. Jim@underratedrockbook.com.
Yep.
Say that you watched the show tonight, and Jim will give you a copy of the book for $10 instead of its normal $13.99. You are still going to have to pay the shipping and handling. There's not much we can do about that, folks.
And you get an autographed copy.
And it's autographed.
I will autograph it. So yes, if I'm handling everything, I will autograph it. I don't have any autographed copies in Amazon. It's just a thing.
So if you're going through Jim at
underratedrockbook.com.
There you go, jim@underratedrockbook.com.
And
you'll get an autographed copy for $10.
$10. And then the shipping and handling. So,
Dennis, cool. So you better get a book signed for Dennis.
We'll be ready to do that. And operators are standing by to check the emails.
Well, they're probably sitting.
It's just me when I get back home.
Say when you get home.
I was in the area. I was in the area, so I just stopped by.
I stopped by.
John was really doing his show by himself. He said, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" Nothing. Hey, come on by.
Come on in.
We'll have a little pizza.
Come on in, pal.
Yeah. Hey, paisa.
A little vino, paisa. You know what I'm saying?
A little pizza, a little vino.
Another guy, Ingraldi, Dennis Ingraldi.
Another Ingraldi.
Another seat. I'm drawing the pies on crowd.
Listen, that's not a bad market.
No, it could be.
Not
a bad market. Work. Frank Don, even though it's
they may give you an offer, you can't refuse. So here.
I'm going to put on a show. You can't refuse.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on a podcast. You can't refuse.
All right, so we're going to head out of here. The show is already taking longer now. I'm about to take it off of the rails. I want to thank Jim Santor.
Thank you, sir.
We've been friends off and on for a long time, but we've known each other for quite some time. We had a lot of fun at Atlantic Cape Community College and the radio station. Someday we need to go back there and maybe do an hour show right there.
We got to put that in the works. Alumni can come in. We got to work that out.
Because I saw it. It looks like a really huge.
Yeah,
nice,
I've seen it. Looks good. Yeah, we got to go in and do at least a one-off.
Just a one-hour one-off, maybe together. Just have.
I'm actually putting feelers out already. So
are
we'll
you?
See. Yeah, I sent a copy of the book to the school.
When did Harris become Italian? Hey, when you hang around and nothing but Italians, like this show here tonight, and people coming in, and everybody, hey.
John Harioso.
Harioso.
Sounds a little Latino, but, hey, listen, still got a valid here.
It does, Italian, But, hey, we got to go there. We're going to get out of here. We're way over the 1 hour, but it's not a time limit thing, thank God, because it's a podcast, folks. It's 1 hour and whatever amount of minutes it is. We're going to be on YouTube. It is right now actually streaming on the Quinn Broadcasting channel. I do want to thank Quinn Broadcasting for letting us use their facilities tonight and helping me set up. Jimmy Church, thank you for tuning in. Jimmy works here at Quinn. Unfortunately, Jimmy, we're about to go off. But I want to thank you for watching. You can watch it again on YouTube, actually, right now. It is streaming, so I'm sure it's going to be up. It's also going to be on this page, which is The Public John. It's facebook.com/The Public John. That is my new podcast. This is episode 2. I really want to thank Jimmy Santora. Thanks to Zach Reed for letting me use the facilities. Dave Virgilio for helping me set it up. Mr. Quinn for letting Zach let me do whatever it is I'm doing. And we're going to go from there. Next episode is going to come out soon. We have a couple prospective guests. I'll let you know when. Thank you guys for tuning in. Spread the word. The Public John is going to be here a while, one way or the other. And if you guys want to sponsor the podcast, please, wildfireradio.com, or get a hold of me on the Facebook page. Thanks, folks. Have a great night. We appreciate you watching. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Get this
Rock
book.
On, people.
He's giving you a discount. Jim@underratedbook.com.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I got to go shut video
this stuff
off.
Down. Okay.
Because people right now are probably still watching me going, I got to go shut some video off. So, actually, it does say here I can end this. So, folks, if you're watching, thank you and have a great night. It says my live video has ended. I hope it has. I'm going to go in the back here and follow all the directions. Right. We had to write to end this.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you, awesome. Sir.
Okay. First up. Screen. On the screen. There's a.
I haven't figured out what I'm doing logistically, because I'm probably doing it someplace at my house.
Right.
And stuff. I was curious to see what this thing does.
Oh,
so.
Here, I'll show you.
Yeah.
Now, it could have been live if I wanted it to be. What I would have done is hit, but I'm still working on the microphone to make sure it's working.
Gotcha. So they just got a little built-in computer on it?
Yes, that's what it is.